You are listening to Supernatural Confessions, where it is a safe place for you to confess all your experiences, be it supernatural, myths, urban legends, superstitions, or even the unknowns. And as a team, we'll compile and feature your confessions on our platform. Share with us your story through our Facebook page or website. You just need to search supernaturalconfessions.com. I'm Kim, your host for this podcast series, and now let's get on to the confessions. For today, Wednesday podcast, we're going to start with our regular writer, Kara Wong. And this one, it's about her dad's tale about the primary school. She started a post like this. Wanted to start a series of stories that my dad used to share with me. Let me know if you will enjoy it and I'll be happy to write a couple more. For those of you who have been following the trail of stories I've written so far, you might remember me mentioning in one of them that my dad was somewhat of a house flipper back in his heydays. House flipper here meaning to say that he bought houses, renovated them and then sold them off for a profit. Our family never really stayed in one place for long. When I was 8 years old, we moved to an estate called Jalan Batu, and I attended the now defunct Mountbatten Primary School. It has been nearly 3 decades and my memory of that place is a little foggy, but I believe we stayed there for just under a year. I vaguely remember it was quite a journey just to get to school. There was always this long walk along the river, up an overhead bridge to get across the road, and then another long winding path along Dakota Crescent, and some abandoned buildings before I finally got to school. I wish it was scenic, but I remember it to be quite creepy. My dad was thrilled when I was attending the same school that he used to go to as a young boy and relegated me with tales of his days when he was there. He sounded excited, however, I recall him repeatedly telling me to avoid the staircase located at the left side of the school. He would not explain why though, but was very insistent that I should not use it, by all means. I didn't want to disobey my dad, so I agreed. On my first day, I arrived in time for assembly and remember looking around the school compound and spotting a staircase that my dad talked about, but not really finding anything amiss. It looked fairly clean, if a little dim. It was also cordoned off with what looked like some tape. You know the tape that people use when they need to cordon off a building, but it's not the police tape, but maybe some event people would normally use it. But it was still accessible if you wanted to cheekily sleep under it. When the bell rang, we were all ushered up to the classes, but curiously enough, no one used those stairs. In the months to come, I kept my word and never went near the area. One day, out of curiosity, I asked my teacher why we couldn't use that staircase since it was the closest one to our classroom. At first, she seemed uncomfortable with the question, but casually dismissed it and said, "Oh, it can be slippery sometimes, so we don't want you guys to fall down and get hurt." True enough, I observed that not even the teachers descend those stairs. Then, come one morning, I arrived at school and was surprised to see chairs stacked high up along the entrance of that staircase, and even more tape this time across the walls, this time around basically barricading the entire area and making it impenetrable. Of course, as a kid, when you see that kind of situation, you would ask a million questions in your head, right? But obviously, I did not get an answer. During the school announcement, the principal shared that measures have to be taken as someone has fallen down the stairs the evening before and had to be taken to the hospital. We were then strictly reminded not to use those stairs. I went home that afternoon and told my dad what had happened and begged him to tell me if there was something wrong with the stairs. I was just telling my father, "Please, Dad, please tell me what's wrong." After much persuasion, he relented. She said by the time he attended the school, he had already heard stories about the staircase, but whatever unfortunate incident had already happened, and everyone was reluctant to talk about the incident. This is my father's story. One day, while waiting for his mum to pick him up, which is my grandma, he sat at the curb near the mysterious staircase and suddenly realized there was someone sitting on that steps as well. Okay, this happened obviously many, many years ago when he was still in school, yeah? He peered and noticed a girl wearing the same school uniform as him, sitting in the middle of the stairs holding her school bag. She had one leg bent beneath her and the other leg outstretched in front of her. Just to have you paint this picture in your head. He wondered why he was sitting on the forbidden staircase, but figured she was probably also waiting like him, and since his mum arrived, didn't think much of it and left. Years later, as an adult, he bumped into his teachers and got talking about his days as a student. Then he remembered the staircase and asked his teacher about it. His teacher then said, before that, there was a female student who was a victim of bullying. And during one of the bullying episodes, she was pushed down the steps by her bullies and died from her injuries. And ever since that incident, people kept complaining that whenever they climbed the stairs, it felt like their foot would get caught onto something midway and they would trip and fall. The few lucky ones would catch hold of the railing in time to break their fall, but there were many who weren't so fortunate. In the years to come, students and teachers alike kept falling down whenever they used that staircase, and eventually the school had to tap off the staircase to prevent anyone from using it permanently. His teacher then jokingly commented that some teachers have claimed to still see the girl on some evenings, sitting in the middle of the staircase with her leg stretched out, just waiting. But of course, it was just a rumor, right?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions Podcast. If you have your own confession, do share it with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Remember, you are not alone.
I bet many of you guys who are currently listening to this, you have your own versions of paranormal stories that happen in your school. You know where to find us to confess. The next confession, titled Last Goodbye, and this one is by Cassidy. Hey, this isn't too creepy or anything. It was more comforting than anything, but still makes my heart heavy. My mum met my stepdad and they were together for years. I really adored him, which I've never felt the same way towards any of my mum's partners before. Fast forward to a Saturday night. My stepdad went out drinking with the guys. Mum, my brother, and I watched a movie and went to sleep. I woke up 3 a.m. to banging at my front door, and my mum waking up absolutely furious. I walked out of my room and hung on the wall and watched her angrily storm towards the front door. Banging is still happening, yeah? She saw me and angrily explained how he must have lost his keys and was obviously drunk. This one is talking about my stepdad. I asked how she knew and she said she could hear him yelling her name. The banging at this point was still going on as my mom angrily flung the door open. When the door was wide open, there was no one there. We were both so confused. Just a minute later, the blue and red lights got to the top of the driveway. The cop came down and informed us that he has passed away at the pub when he was still with his mates. We do not know whether the banging has any relation with my stepdad passing away, but it was a really hard time in our life. But mom truly believes that he was trying to give her one final goodbye or give her some kinds of heads up. Cassidy here wrote, "We love and miss you so much, Stephen."
Here at Supernatural Confessions, we would like to remind you, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.
For the next story, this one comes from Isaac Lum, and this is paranormal stories that happen in his office. The recent trend regarding haunted offices got me thinking about my previous company, where I worked for almost 3 years up till last year. It's situated around the Hoy Fat Road area, not to mention in detail, and according to my dad who lived there in the 60s, my office building area used to be part of an old kampong with a small graveyard. Many of us, a lot of my colleagues including myself, know that the building is unclean, and most people who have to work overtime will always make sure they try to leave together by a certain time. And, you know, not to have alone time during OT in the main office at level 5. I'm one of the few who just couldn't be bothered. So, I do overtime alone, sometimes. So here, I'm sharing some of my encounters over the 3 years. I can't remember all of it, because it's like too many of them. First one, little boy. This one is a playful one, and resides in the basement or level 1 area. The basement is a storage area for parts and also occasionally some vehicles or some machinery. And this one, the storage area, has a motion activated lights. The first time I went down, as the lift opened and the lights switched on, because it's a motion activated lights, right? I saw this little boy ran across the lift to the right, round the corner, which led to a dead end. At first, I got a shock thinking that a kid was trapped there. So I quickly walked there, and as I walked to the right of the lift, where it was a dead end, there was only one car parked there, backed up against the wall. I ran over to find him because, you know, I'm scared that a kid could have been in trouble for being here. But there was no one there. And my colleague, who was just right behind me, didn't see anyone run past him. As I turned my back to walk away, I felt someone looking at me. I played it cool and pretended not to notice, but did a surprise spin around midway and saw him darting behind the car very quickly. But I knew that it was not possible, as the car was back like a few centimeters away from the wall, and it is just not possible someone could have been behind the car. And then, another occasion, another time, a few of us decided to assist the events department colleagues in the teardown after an event. And as I was holding a soccer ball which was used as a prop, I just kicked around for fun with one of my colleagues. He accidentally kicked the ball round to the dead end where I saw the boy the last time. As I didn't think much of it and walked to retrieve the ball, the ball suddenly came around the back corner on its own at quite a fast speed. It's not like it rolled down slowly because of gravity or whatever, right? But this one moved quite a fast speed as if someone was kicking it back to us. No one said anything. I just took the ball slowly and told them, "Never mind. Don't worry about nothing. Nothing. Nothing is here." They were spooked but held it together, and we managed to finish up quickly and leave. One of my other experiences with the boy was at level 1, at the other side of the building. This time, I was doing a weekend demonstration duty to showcase our product to prospective customers, and sometime in the afternoon, under a sweltering heat, I felt like going to the restroom to freshen up, you know, just to wash my face. As I was tired, I went to the nearest toilet at the service center, which was closed on Saturday afternoons and Sunday, so the lights were switched off. I walked to the long, echoey corridor that led to the toilet, and decided to use the handicapped toilet that had a physical light switch instead of the regular ones which use motion sensors, so that it would switch off on me halfway, as those lights had tendency to do that. Halfway through my restroom usage, I heard the light switch right outside the handicapped toilet flick, and the lights went off, followed by a giggle from a kid. As I was already quite tired and not in the mood for games, I shouted at top of my voice, "Hey, F, people weekend have to come back and work under this heat, so tired already, you still wanna disturb on my effing light now?" The giggling stopped and I heard the light switch click and it came back on. Okay, some of you listening to this or reading this post might be thinking, could it have been human? Could it have been my colleague who wanted to disturb me? I knew it couldn't be a human, because if they were to come to the washroom and did a prank on me, I would have heard the approaching footsteps. Because, mind you, the corridor was long and hollowish, and it was eerily silent as I was doing my business on the throne, right up to the moment when the lights switched off. So, when I finished my business and banged the door open, I went out and continued scolding the little boy. I was like, hey, you have the audacity to switch off my lights, really? You know who you are playing with? You try that again and see what happened. And I stormed out of the corridor. As I left, I heard a whisper saying, sorry. Now, the next one. This one we refer to the kakak, or translated to sister, or a term that we usually use to describe Miss P. This one is a bit more sinister. She is a Miss P looking like a Parisian. I think she was, as sometimes the smell comes before she appears, but at times there was no smell at all. Those of us in the office always refer to her as kakak. My boss's bodyguard showed me a picture of the CCTV footage from the lift, where it showed her standing right beside him, and he went to retrieve it as he felt something beside him while waiting for the lift. And it was shown clearly in the photo. This kaka hangs out at our main level 5 office. Sometimes we could hear crying, sometimes laughing. I used to have a seat at the far end of the office with my back facing the corridor leading to the lift lobby where she was always seen. So, quite a distance away. You know how some nosy colleagues would always sneak up behind and look at what you are doing? I hated that, and one of my teammates actually suggested that I put a mirror to see in front of me so I know who is approaching in my back, right? I didn't think much of it and I got it. It was pretty useful until a few days later, one night when I was working overtime, and this time also alone, around 9 plus, I felt something behind me. Thinking it was another kindred spirit who was also drowning in work, I glanced at my mirror and I saw her. I got a shock of my life and put the mirror down. I turned around and luckily nothing was there. And the moment I turned around, that is when I heard crying coming from the lift lobby. It was faint, a quiet sob, probably because this is distance away, right? But that is a call for me to leave the office as soon. And this is another incident. We do hang out and drink in office occasionally on Friday nights. I know, no life, yes. One Friday, we were drinking along the walkway, just outside some of the manager's offices, together with them. We had a lot of fun, chatting and laughing, and some of the managers got a bit drunk after. So we had to make sure they got home, right? So in the chaos, we left some gin and whiskey bottles along the tables outside their room. As I was talking to another colleague, she said, "Hey, I think we better find some time to clear the bottles. Not nice for other colleagues to see, you know." And as I was with a friend not too far away, I told my colleague that I would just swing by on my way home to clear the bottles. As I walked in to clear the bottles, by just gathering them and putting them in one of the manager's room, I heard a shrill laughter coming from the other side of the office. To be honest, that time I thought it was one of my colleague, which is slightly older, because she laughed exactly like that. Thinking that she was around, I went over to check, but it was all dark at the other section. As I walked back to continue clearing the stuff, that is when I saw the kaka standing in the hallway, right where I had to pass through her to continue clearing. At this time, I can see it, everything in detail. She had a greenish looking skin, wore a white long dress, long hair and nails, and she had a pair of red eyes. I bowed down. I told her, "Sorry to disturb, I'm just here to clear some stuff and I'll leave. I'm sorry if we made too much noise disturbing you." She then suddenly vanished. And I hurriedly went on to clear the rest of the bottles and quickly packed up and leave. As I was walking out of the manager's room and closing the door, I saw her again, standing at one corner, probably just to make sure I was really gonna leave. I could sense her aura wasn't pleasant, so I just said sorry once again and quickly left. To Isaac Lum, hats off for being brave throughout the entire 3 years walking in that kind of situation.
Fellow listeners of Supernatural Confessions, if you like our podcast content and wish to support us, do buy us coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/SCFridayLife. We appreciate every single cup of it.
Alright, from Haunted Office now, we're gonna go to another confession. This one is by Marcus, and the title is, I Grew Up in Haunted House. When I was in 4th to 8th grade, we moved into a century-old farmhouse in Strawtown, Indiana. My father was in and out of the picture at this point of my life. So most of the time, it was only me, my mother, and two younger brothers living there. One was only a year younger than I, and the youngest was about 4 years old during this time. The house always felt as though someone was watching you or breathing down your neck. So I'm just gonna list down things that occurred for brevity. This one is by my mum. She would start seeing black shadows around the house. She said she could smell him. Body odor that could be smelled in a specific spot and not directly next to it. As time went on, she started seeing the imprint of someone sitting on the edge of her bed. And one night, it lay across her legs and she woke up thrashing to get it off. Then, for me, I had the upstairs bedroom connected to the attic door through a small closet. These were huge rooms. Things were the least crazy for me. I would hear footsteps run up and down the stairs at night and my brothers would be in bed. The scariest thing that would happen to me was that often I would hear the door to the attic would swing open as though someone forced it against the wall and a cold presence would rush to my bedside. When I was 14, I started into a spiraling depression. I painted my walls blood red and began writing poetry and things on my wall in aggressive handwriting. Never have felt or acted that way since. I have, however, had many instances of paranormal activity followed me throughout my life. My Irish twin brother had it bad. I only know fragments of his story, as what happened to him is something he rather forget. One night, he screamed in his room. So we ran and checked on him, and he had been smacked. At first, we thought it was him hitting himself in his sleep, but when we checked on the handprint, it was upside down. So it is quite impossible to do it to yourself. 15 years later, my mom told me she found him crying on the stairs one night. He was reluctant to tell her why, but when pressed, he told her that he kept hearing voices telling him to kill all of us. Then I understand why my mum kept this from us. When I asked him about it, he was visibly upset and said it stopped as soon as we moved from the house. Youngest brother, when he started talking, he would say weird stuff. He would see boots walking around the house with no body attached. He would also hear laughing when he get near the basement steps. I remember the four of us kneeling and praying that this entity would leave us alone, but it didn't. Thank God Marcus posted saying that they moved out and the house is now empty.
If you wanted to share with us your confessions, feedbacks, comments, or you think there is a way that our contents can be improved, visit us at www.supernaturalconfessions.com and send all of it to us there.
To continue, next story I'm going to tell you comes from a confessor that just wanted to be named Boy. Boy currently resides in Sarawak, where I am from, but Originally, the parent, or the mother is from here, but the father is from Kelantan, which is another state in Malaysia. So back in Kelantan, the family that stays there lives in a village house or a kampong house. Most of his uncles or aunties or cousins used to stay in that house, but because after most of them grew up and they have their family on their own, so they moved out from the house. So the house that I am going to tell you the story about is actually a house that only has his grandmother, an uncle, and a cousin. I don't remember whether there is a cousin or not, but I remember there is a grandma and an uncle. But the house, this village house, has a lot of rooms because it used to be the family house to these big families of boys, right? But because a lot of people moved out, so a lot of rooms been left empty. The room is left empty, it became dusty, and they use all these rooms as a storage. So there's a lot of items, they just leave it or they just dumped it inside this room. So where the story happened is when boy and his family, which is from Sarawak, they went back to Kelantan for a visit. It's either for a visit or one of their cousins got married and he went back to attend the reception. So they stayed in this kampong house. Why? Is because this particular village doesn't have any hotels or even motels around. So they have no choice but to stay in the family house. After all, it's a family house, right? But according to boy, when they were there, they need to clean up the rooms and whatnot. Although there's plenty of rooms, but they need to clean it up so that they can sleep in it. So, reaching part, greetings the family, cleaning up the room, nothing weird, nothing out of the unusual happened, according to boy, until the first night he slept there. He said he slept by himself because the family, there is parents, sisters, him, and the youngest brother, but according to him, they slept in three separate rooms. Parents with the youngest brother, sister slept in one room, and boy slept by himself in a separate room. The creepy stuff that happened was actually very short, but what happened to him was actually, he went to sleep, and when he is already asleep, he could hear a lady humming next to him. At first, he thought it was just maybe neighbor or something like that, but the houses are there's quite a distance between houses. So he thought it couldn't be someone that, you know, could have hummed from the next door and I could have hear it. And at this point, boy already kind of like woken up, but with eyes closed. But he could hear the lady humming still. He did not bother much about it. He tried to sleep, but he say the humming kind of not, it doesn't felt like lullaby whereby you can put yourself to sleep, right? But it's kind of annoying. That's according to boy. That is when boy opened his eyes and turned to his left hand side. When he turned, he saw a lady dressed in red, seated just next to him, with her legs folded behind, with her arms or with her hands on her lap and just humming away. So imagine, you open your eyes, you turn to your left hand side and you see kind of like actually a pair of knees, right? But according to boy, he could tell it's a lady dressed in red, but he say, I dare not look at the face. I could only see the pair of knees and her hand on her lap and seated in that position and just hum. Boy say, when I saw that pair of knees, I turned to the other way round and just went back to sleep. The humming still continued, but I couldn't be bothered much. Thank God, boy fell asleep and nothing much happened to him after. Right, until the next day when he told his family this, the father did some prayers and he said luckily only the first night that lady appeared. For the next few nights that he slept there, nothing else that is weird that happened to him. So when I asked, do you have any idea who could that be? He said he has no idea, and for him, he doesn't felt that scared or he doesn't feel that lady is malicious in a way. But at the same time,
she doesn't feel friendly as well. We have come to the end of this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate us with a 5-star review on whichever platform you are streaming this podcast on. Go on and tell your friends and family about us. You can find more of our content on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Search for keyword Supernatural Confessions. If you or someone you know have a confession to make, visit supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send it in text, voice memo, or even video format. Let us know if you want your identity to be kept secret. Supernatural Confessions is created by Eugene Tay. Until the next episode, my name is Kim, your host for this podcast series, signing off with, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.